Nice. Yeah, when I showed you this, I thought I'd probably put myself on following the announcement because that would be wise. I'm now questioning the wisdom of that decision. But together we're going to learn together something new, something fresh from God's word. Paul is writing to the church, the early church in Corinth. They're a shambles. They're an absolute shambles of a church. And Paul is trying to bring something of God's order to their worship. And we're going to pick up from what he writes in the bit of the letter that he wrote that we call chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So it's going to be on the screens. You've got it on your phones. And if you'd like a paper Bible, a hospitality team are armed with them. Just raise your hand. They'll bring one round. So this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Now, writes Paul, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing the spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? In fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Brilliant. Well, here we are, beginning of a new term, a new academic term, and we are beginning a new series called Body Beautiful, Discovering the Spiritual Gifts. Now, body. Whose body is it? Okay, when you're asked a question in church, what's always the right answer? Whose body? That's it. It's the body of Christ we're talking about. Body beautiful, it's the beautiful body of Christ. You can see what we've done there. The body of Christ, one of the vital analogies, one of the central analogies for the church in the New Testament, coined by Paul, is this idea of the church being like a body with many parts, all of which is vital, and the head of the body is Christ. Well done. So why are we looking at spiritual gifts? We're a charismatic Anglican church. Why are we looking at spiritual gifts? The answer is not one, not two, but three people all separately approached me with prophetic promptings last term to say, could we do something on rediscovering or discovering our spiritual gifts this term? So that's why. We've pulled out five of the spiritual gifts mentioned in the passage I've just read to you or in Romans 12. And we're going to be looking at those over the next 5 weeks. And the hope is to release these gifts more fully within our church family. That sound like a good idea to you? Yeah, okay. They already exist. They're all in operation, but we want to release them more fully, particularly those of you who've like, well, I'm not sure what my spiritual gift is. This morning, I'm going to try and make a few comments about the passage I've just read. Then I'm going to make quite a lot of comments about today's allocated gift, which is the gift of prophecy. And then we're going to try it. Does that sound like a good plan? Yeah. All right, here we go. So a few comments about what Paul's written to the Corinthians. It seems from Paul's letters and elsewhere in the New Testament that the Holy Spirit supernaturally enabled members of the early church to do stuff that built up and edified their churches. Let me say that again. From Paul's writings, it seems clear that the Holy Spirit supernaturally enabled members of the early church to do stuff which built up their churches. Now, Paul helpfully lists these supernatural enablings, and he calls them spiritual gifts. And he lists them principally in 1 Corinthians 12, which I just read to you, and Romans 12, although they also pop up in other places like 1 Peter 4, verse 11. Now, first thing to say, these lists are not exhaustive. Let me hear you say that. These lists... they are not exhaustive, meaning that there are more ways in which the Holy Spirit enables Christians to serve in the body of Christ than are mentioned in Paul's lists. For instance, there is the supernatural gift of car park marshalling. That's not in Paul's list, is it? And yet I believe it's a spiritual gift. The Lord enables. And if you would like to find out more about joining our parking team, come and speak to me later, or you can speak to Peter Tree. We would love to find out if the Lord is releasing that gift more fully in the body of Christ this morning. It could be that you have a spiritual gift that isn't in Paul's lists. First thing, these lists are not exhaustive. The second thing I want to say is one of the problems that Paul was addressing when he wrote 1 Corinthians 12, what we call 1 Corinthians 12, was that the Corinthians were so pleased with the gifts that they had been given by the Holy Spirit that they were showing them off. They were being a little bit showy about their gifts, especially the gift of tongues, which Tom Restall is going to teach on here in a few weeks. So what Paul is trying to do is trying to help them see that the gifts are for the edification, not of the individual, but of the whole church. They are for the blessing and the edification of the whole church. One, and he uses the body image, you're a small, you're an eye, you're an ear, you're an elbow, and you exist for the benefit of the entire body. There's no good having an eye on its own, is there? So if over the coming weeks you discover or rediscover a spiritual gift, remember, it's not for you. It's not for you. It's for us. It's for the whole church. So, number one, Paul's gifts are not exhaustive. Second point I want to make, spiritual gifts are for the church, not for the individual. Why don't you say that with me? The spiritual gifts are not for the for the church, not for the individual. Thank you. I'll try and say it right next time. The third thing I want to say, just as a comment on what I've just read, is that we love the giver, not the gifts. Who do we love? We love the giver, not the gifts. We're supposed to eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. I'm just about to read that to you from 1 Corinthians 14. To eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. We eagerly desire them, but we don't love them. The one whom we love is the Holy Spirit. And I have seen people confuse the two. But we're not going to do that, right? Okay. So 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 says this. Eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. And that's what we're going to spend our time thinking about between now and the end of the service. What is the gift of prophecy? Many definitions. I'm going to give you this, my definition. Prophecy is all about revealing what God wants us to know. Prophecy, I think, is all about him revealing to us what he wants us to know. We've got two types of prophecy in the Bible. Paul is referring here not to the Isaiah, Ezekiel, Hosea type of prophecy that we see in what we call the Old Testament. What Paul is referring to here is the other kind of prophecy. It's the kind of prophecy that we see Jesus doing. We're in John 4 when he meets, you know, he meets the woman at the well, and he supernaturally knows something about her that in his humanity he couldn't possibly know. And he meets her, and he's having a chat with her, and he says, "Go and fetch your husband." He says, "Oh, I don't have a husband." He says, "You're right. In fact, you've had four husbands, and now the person that you're with is not your husband." And do you remember what she says to him? She says, "Sir, I see you are a prophet." That's the kind of prophecy that Paul is referring to here, not the Old Testament canonical prophecy, which is a sort of a different type of prophecy. We also see it in Acts 21. Agabus, whenever I was at school, this shows my age, and my RE teacher was teaching about Agabus, the whole class in unison would go, "Agabus, bus, 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 pineapple," which if you're less than 40, how old am I? 48? Am I 48 like me? You might not know what that's all about. Agabus is a mate of Paul's, and he's with Paul, and Paul's saying, "I'm going to go to Jerusalem." And Agabus says, "Well, you need to know, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be bound." And he gets his belt and he ties it around. "Well, you're going to be bound like this, Paul." And Paul says, "Thanks for that info. Thanks for that intel. That's great, but I'm going anyway." So, okay, well, the Lord wanted you to know that. That's the kind of prophecy that we are talking about today. It's the kind of prophecy that Paul is referring to in this list of spiritual gifts. It's not the same as Old Testament prophecy. It doesn't have the same weight or the same universal application as the Old Testament prophecy. However, the way in which this prophecy is revealed, I think, is very similar. According to the scriptures, the way in which we receive and hear from God these New Testament prophecies happens in a very similar way to the way the Old Testament prophecies. Got it. Turn with me in your Bibles to Numbers. I know most of you have it memorized, but if you could turn to it anyway, just to the people next to you, not to be intimidated, that'd be great. Because I'm going to read to you from Numbers 12. Honestly, the greatest, most insightful teaching on how to operate the new covenant gift, the New Testament gift of prophecy, comes from the Pentateuch, comes from Numbers. What's happened is... Moses' sister and brother, whose names escape me, Miriam and Aaron, have criticized Moses. And God is saying to them, "You shouldn't do that because Moses is special. You see, I speak to my prophets in a certain way, but Moses is different. With him, I speak to face to face. Therefore, you shouldn't have criticized him. You just should have shown him more respect." This is what we've got in Numbers 12, verse 6. "Listen to my words, says the Lord. When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams." That's interesting to know. "But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all of my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against him?" So what we learn, almost like incidentally from this Old Testament teaching, this Old Testament rebuke, where the Lord is rebuking Aaron and Miriam, is that the way the Lord speaks to his prophets is not clear. When there is a prophet among you, he speaks to them in riddles. In riddles. "When there is a prophet among you, I speak to them in visions, dreams, and riddles." It's not face to face. It's not ever so clear. I'll give you an example how I've experienced this personally, a recent example. So I was on the tube a little while back, and with a friend, and I was chatting, and this guy sat down opposite me, and he was and he reminded me of someone that I knew. He came and sat down. And he had, facially, he looked similar. And he had a very similar mannerism to a guy that I know called Dennis. And Dennis is from South Africa. And there was just something about his physical self just jumped out at me, which, of course, then I tried to ignore. You know what happens if you look at people on the tube? But then I felt just that weird prompting from the Lord, which always makes my heart sink. Because I think, oh, no, I'm going to have to do something about this now. And I looked back at him, and I was like, "Lord, what... what is it about this guy that, well, he reminds you of Dennis, doesn't he? And where's Dennis from? Well, he's from South Africa. Well, go and talk to him about South Africa. Go on, go on. And I'm like, oh, no, Lord. And then the train pulled in. I thought, oh, please let him get off. Please let it not be a long journey. But he stayed on. So I thought, oh, okay. So I excused myself from a conversation I was trying to have with my friend whilst I was also trying to talk to the, trying to disagree with the Lord. And I went over and sat next to him. And it's hard to start these conversations, those of you who have prophetic words for strangers, isn't it? So I sat down and said, forgive me, this sounds like an odd question, but are you a praying man? And he looked at me. He said, well, not really. He said, well, I'm a praying man, and God speaks to me, and he's given me a message for you. Would you like me to tell you what it is? Now, only very, 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 very occasionally do people say, no, I don't want to know. My overwhelming experience is people say, oh, yeah, go on then, okay. So this guy, you know, you there, see, he thought this weirdo is about to tell me something that he thinks is from God. So I said, I wonder if the Lord, now, golden rule, don't say how you got the word. I was sitting there looking at you, and I, well, instantly, that's it, he's left. You remind me of a friend of mine called irrelevant. Just get straight to the word. So I said, I think God is saying that maybe you have a link with South Africa, and God is interested in that link. Is that true? Well, he looked at me, his eyes widened, his jaw dropped, and he said, I've been agonizing for months, and I've just been thinking this morning about whether I need to go and travel to South Africa or not. I literally, this morning, so he was like, okay, by that time I really had his attention. I said, well, Jesus has an interest in this trip, and can I pray for you? He said, yeah, well, I'm getting off in a couple of stops. So I spent the rest of the time praying for him to be filled with God's spirit. I said, look, I don't know, you know, where do you live? And he told me where he lives. So, oh, there's a great church just up the road. And by that time, it was time to get off. It was as simple as that. Now, had the Lord made it clear to me? Had he? No, he hadn't. I just looked at this guy, and he reminded me of someone that I knew, and then it wasn't clear. It was a bit like a riddle I had to work out, and then a big step of faith. It wasn't emblazoned in the sky. It wasn't an audible voice. It wasn't clear. I'll give you another example, a recent example. So when I get to walk Archie to school, which I love doing. He and I, we do what we call Penty prayer. I've told you about this a number of times, but we pray in five different ways. We praise prayers, thanks prayers, confession prayers, intercession prayers, and then hearing from the Lord prayer. And Archie's always very keen that we pray. So the hearing from the Lord prayer, which is, I remember the little finger, because that's the little one that can go in your ear. It's the only finger you can get in your ear, unless you've got very small fingers. So we're praying, and Archie always says, dear Lord, please from now until the end of the road or the lamppost or the skip or the black truck, please could you speak to us, amen. I say, amen, and then we go. And then about halfway along that little journey, Archie said, right, I've got something. And I'm like, what, have you got something, Daddy? I said, well, I'm trying to think, Archie. He said, well, have you got something, Daddy? I said, well, if you keep interrupting me, I'm not going to. We've got until here in the skip, okay, all right, shush. And then I get that. I said, Archie, what did the Lord say to you? And he said, I believe God is saying that when you can't see things clearly, just focus on his love and eventually things will become clear. This is an 8-year-old. You know, he's his mother's son, I tell you. I'm like, wow. And I said, mine's quite puny by comparison, but I can't remember what it was. It was a really timely word for me as well, because we were thinking about the thing I just announced, and what the Lord was saying to me and anyone else for whom that's a word was, when things don't seem clear, maybe trying to hack away at it is not a good idea. Instead, just focus on the warmth of his love, and things will eventually come clear. So we prayed into that, and I said, Archie, how did you get that word? And he said, well, when we were walking along, it was one of those chilly, you know, the weather's been up and down. It's one of those chilly moments. And the guy's windscreen was all misted up. And he had the heaters on as he was warming up the car. And Archie noticed as he was walking by this car, and the spot where the warmth of the heater was blowing was becoming clear. Do you see? That's how the Lord spoke to him. It was like a riddle. You know those guys who stand at the front in conferences and they pick people out, like, you know, okay, the guy there, the tall guy with white hair, you know, just the Lord is saying that. I'm just joking. I haven't got a word for you yet. You know those moments and you think, and they tell you like things, you think, how could you possibly know that? I've met these guys. I've met these American prophet evangelists. This is how it works. A friend of mine, a guy called David, this is how it works. He picked a guy out from a conference and said, the Lord is saying, he thinks that you're a teacher. And it was a pivotal word that changed the course of this life, because this guy was a teacher. He was thinking about leaving the teaching profession. And he went to this conference. He was picked out. And he said, you know, God, if you want me to stay a teacher, I don't like the hours. I don't like the hassle. If you want me to stay a teacher, you're going to have to give me a word. And that's exactly what he got. Simple. The Lord is saying, you're a teacher. How did David get that word? The previous day, as they were milling around, signing around, he noticed this guy and he saw this guy's shoes. And this guy's shoes stood out to him. And then he started thinking about the British national anthem for some reason. This guy's American. And he put the two together. He said, what do they call those kind of shoes in England? They call them trainers. Maybe the Lord is saying this guy's a trainer. And by the time he'd figured it out, he disappeared. And the next time he saw him, he was sitting on the second row in the conference. That's how, some of you look really disappointed, but that's, honestly, in line with Hebrews 12, 6 to 8, the Lord speaks unclearly in visions, dreams, and riddles. If you want to hear more about this, on the 13th of July, we have a whole day moving on in the prophetic. The last one we had was incredible, amazing teaching. We're going to have another one. It's the 13th of July. Come along. A former associate vicar is going to be leading the sung worship, so you might like to come along for that reason. Okay. Some comments on 1 Corinthians, some comments on prophecy. Now it's time for us to try. You excited by that thought? Yeah, excellent. Me too. I believe that every Christian can prophesy. Every Christian can prophesy. Just like every Christian can express the spiritual gift of giving. Or every Christian can encourage. Every gift Christian can administrate. Every Christian can show hospitality. Every Christian can teach someone something about Jesus. We can operate all of the spiritual gifts in Paul's lists and beyond. But for some of you here today, prophecy is really your thing. And you're about to either discover that for the first time or be reminded of that. Prophecy really is your thing. But for everyone this morning, the activation exercise I'm about to ask us to do, I believe it's something we can all do. It's just that for some, this is a thing. This is my role in the body of Christ. So we've got an activation exercise. What I'm going to ask you to do in a minute get into groups of three. You can do a two, you can do a four. It's better if it's a three, just from timing point of view. But if you want to be a couple, that's fine. If you want to be a four, don't be a five, but try and be a three, first thing. There's a bit of milling around, so if you do want to head for the door, you can. I'd encourage you not to, but it is possible. Then, in your triplet, I want you to take turns to prophesy over the person on your right. You're going to turn to the person on your right, and I'm going to ask you to do this. Even those of you who are real seasoned prophets and you get these incredible downloads, I'm looking over here to the left, of course, you get these incredible downloads. I tell you what, can we break you lot up? Okay, those of you who are used to this sort of thing, just go spread around. If you know, okay, I've done this before, just swallow your humility and go and infiltrate elsewhere in the church. Person on your right, and I want you to look at them. So if you're being prophesied over, you might find it more comfortable to close your eyes. I always find it weird keeping my eyes open when people are praying for me, because I think I just find, they're talking to the Lord, but they're looking at me. How weird. So you might like to close your eyes. It makes it easier for the person prophesying as well, so they can have a good look at you. And what I'm going to suggest, you who are prophesying, is you allow something about their physical self to stand out to you. It might be the way their hair is tied. It might be their glasses. It might be the shape of their ear. It might be the shirt that they're wearing. It might be a friend of mine once was wearing a really tight-knit, is it wishbone, fishbone? What the thing is? Herringbone, thank you. Tosin would know this. He's probably got several shirts like it. haven't you? And it was a very detailed thing. And someone said, they didn't say I was looking at your shirt. They just said, I just wonder if the Lord says you've got a real eye for detail. And it's something that the Lord loves. Well, this woman wept and wept and wept because she gets criticized all the time for being pedantic. And actually, it was a really timely word for the Lord to say, actually, I love that about you. Don't listen to her. It's great. So simple things. Look at their shirt. Look at their shoes. Look at their physical selves. And allow something to jump out at you, just like the car windscreen jumped out at Archie. And allow that to be a trigger for what the Lord might be wanting to say to you in person. And then you say it. Okay? Does that sound okay? I've got two rules for you. The first one is it must be strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. That's what Paul says in the continuation of 1 Corinthians 14. He gets to verse 3 and he says, prophecy is given for our strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. So we're going to have no words about, I was looking at your glasses. The last time I saw a pair of glasses like that, the person died. All right? If anyone does give you a prophetic word like that, just raise your hand and I will send Andy over to headbutt them. No negative words, okay? No negative words. He's got the head for it. No negative words. Just strengthening, encouraging. If you get something you think, this is a bit negative, don't share it. Come and tell me, and then we'll figure out what to do with it, because it might be from the Lord, but don't share. So first one, no negative words. Second thing, don't say how you got it. What are you not going to do? You're going to don't say how you got it. The number of times I've said this, and still people say, I was looking at the hair in your ears, and the Lord was just... Forget it. They're not going to hear what you're going to say. They're just going to be self-conscious about their hairy ears, you know. I was looking at the hole in your jumper, and the Lord was saying, don't say how you got it. Please, if anyone... There are no headbutts for that one. It's not severe enough. But, you know, slap wrist, okay? Please, and if... Just don't say how you got it, all right? You got that? That's between you and the Lord, because often it's quite weird. I've had some really weird ones. You know, there was once a couple of sisters who were young girls who were dancing at Soul Survivor conference, and the Lord, and I was looking at them, and they reminded me of my two Springer Spaniels because of their hair. Springer has got long hair. If I went up to them, actually I went up to their mother and said, can I prophesy over your daughter? I went up and said, now your girls just reminded me of two lively dogs. Forget it. So just don't say how you got it. You got the message, right? Okay. Father, I want to thank you for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want to thank you that you want to continue and to release new expressions of the gift of prophecy at St. Barnabas. Help us now as we do this fun exercise to either be reminded of or introduced to this wonderful, life-giving gift in the body of Christ. Amen. Okay, you ready? We have some music, maestro. In all of our questions. Okay. Thank you. How was that? Was that helpful? Is that good? Encouraging? Getting lots of nods? Margaret just popped up. She just reminded me of something. And I just want to give it as another example of how this thing works. It's a number. So can we give Margaret a clap and encourage her?
Okay, I normally come home, I do long hours at work, and I normally come home late. And on this particular day, my husband wasn't at home. He normally starts the dinner, so I got in early. Josiah over there. He starts the dinner, so I got in really early, and I started the dinner. Then he came home, not expecting to see me there. And I just said to him, I turned around, I said, I feel that Jesus is just saying to me that that's how he's going to come unexpectedly. That, you know, as Christians, we're ready, but we're not ready. And he's just going to turn up. And me turn up like this, you're not expecting me. It speaks to me in my soul that Jesus is going to come unexpectedly. And I did actually sent a text to Colin. I said I was going to talk to him about it, and this has just brought it back again. So That's just, as a church, I think we need to be expecting the coming of the Lord. And we shouldn't be like the five foolish virgins whose lamps were empty.
Yeah. Thank you, Margaret. That's it. Now, those of you who are a bit like, the Lord would never speak to me about what, you know, we should be doing a sermon series on at church. Well, the fact is he probably already has a number of times. You might not have recognized it. This is how it works. So Margaret then sends me a text saying, oh, can we talk? And then we've just spoken. So I just wonder if the Lord is saying whether we need to do some teaching. And as the church get our heads around a little bit more, the Lord's return. I'm like, oh, that's a good idea, you know. We'll wait and we'll weigh that up. But you know, come later in the year when we do an entire teaching series on the second coming of Jesus, you know where it came from. You were making tea, and you had a surprise. But honestly, the people I know who are really, really good at this hearing the Lord stuff, it's as simple as that. It's the Numbers 12 riddles, unclear stuff, and sometimes there's dreams and sometimes there's visions. Okay. So be encouraged. Let's prophesy. Let's get this gift moving.